Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm sitting doing my lippy. Why, Mum, may you ask?
I think we all want our lippy on tonight, darling.
You made your feelings known about our guest today when I was on Jonathan Ross and he looked quite thrilled. So maybe he's coming here.
He said, come on, give us a hug.
Did he?
Yeah. Gave me a big kiss.
Oh, come on then, let's tell everybody who
just,
we got.
Jess, can I just say something?
What?
Please don't sit there because I want to look right into those eyes.
Oh my God.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough.
When you get to my age, blue eyes are important.
Why blue eyes? All your children have brown eyes. Oh no,
I know,
Hannah has.
But his are particularly sparkly blue.
Well, maybe that's the lighting on the Great British Bake Off, Mum. Let's
maybe.
See if they twinkle in real life.
I think they do.
We've got Paul Hollywood.
And
you have run the risk by doing a tart.
Well, I thought I couldn't go wrong
your
here.
Your old tart.
Because if it's terrible, we can all laugh. If it's good, he might give me a handshake.
Star baker.
And I just thought, I'll have a go. And it looked quite interesting.
Take a moment to guess what Mum is going to be doing. She only does this for the big guns.
Do you think he's ever tasted a matzo ball?
Probably.
Oh,
well, yeah, but not Lenny's matzo ball.
No. So I've done my matzo balls. I actually put them in a larger pan and they expanded more.
Is that
they had
good?
A little bit more room. Light.
Fluffy.
Fluffy, light.
Cloud-like.
Cloud-like.
Paul Hollywood is early, which you know I quite like. So Paul Hollywood coming up on Table Manners. Hollywood has arrived 15 minutes early, which is what we love.
I'm a baker.
Loves it.
I don't
Why?
Like
what does
I
that
can't
mean?
Be late.
Oh, fair
oh,
enough.
Christ.
I like that. But I'm not a baker, but I'm always early, so I don't...
I'll be early for
maybe...
my funeral. My mum's always late, but my granddad was always early. I've got it from my granddad. As I have my eyes, actually. My granddad came from my granddad.
Oh, well, those about are... your eyes. We're
are
just
those
talking
Irish
about
eyes? They look like Irish ones to me.
I did my Who Do You Think You Are, and it's quite difficult because there's Welsh in me, there's Scots, and there is Irish. I'm predominantly Celt, actually.
Who do you support in the World Cup?
England.
Good.
Let's talk about Who Do You Think You Are. Was it a good experience for you?
Yeah,
like
it was.
Find out your family are murderers or things.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest... I did it. Mary had done it. I've been working with Mary on
Mary Berry.
Mary Berry.
Mary Berry. Yeah.
She still love you, even though you
stopped.
Yeah. Even though you deserted her and went.
Oh no, I didn't desert anything, though, did I?
No, you just went with the show.
She deserted me.
Oh, very yeah. good, very good, Paul.
So ultimately, when I did Who Do You Think You Are, Mary had said, because I know Mary wanted to be related to.
Royalty.
Some royalty or something. And to be honest, I really hoped it happened for her because she'd be made up, you know. And in the end, when she went back, her relationships went back to Norfolk, I think. And there were prostitutes and workhouses and stuff.
You're kidding.
So when they did mine, I thought, well, wouldn't it be ironic?
If you were posh.
Yeah.
Posher than
from
Mary,
a bit
anyway.
Of rough in the north. So in the end, they found out, they actually found out, I went down my granddad's route and I come back, go to the Mackenzies in Scotland and I come back from that route, you know, the clans. But on my nan's side, which is a story they really wanted to tell, there was a 20-year gap, which they didn't have paperwork. You've got to have paperwork to back everything right. they do up. And I do go back to Ruthin Castle in Wales, which is aristocracy, oh, wow. which where my nan was like the queen anyway. And she was looked like the queen, acted like the queen. Common as muck, but nevertheless. And we did go back to this Ruthin Castle, and I've been to Ruthin Castle many times.
Did it feel like home?
Well, next time I will.
Put your feet up. So, excuse me.
So, I did it. I quite enjoyed it. It's quite exciting one time when they said to me, will you come down to the airport? And I went, oh. They said, we'll meet you at Gatwick Airport, bring your passport. And I went, this is interesting. Now we're going to find some stuff out. So turned up at the airport with all my bags going, where are we going? And they went, Glasgow.
Oh, Christ. And you'd pack your shorts.
Oh, yeah. I was really ready to get another tan.
And how are you? How's life? How's it feeling good. With the new cookbook coming out?
Oh, that's been great. I mean, a baking book.
Do you not call them cookbooks?
No, darling.
Baking book. There's cooks and chefs and bakers. And we're sort of, the bakers are a different breed. We are a different breed.
I think you are, because we're not bakers.
Yeah.
No. Right. We know that.
But are you quite cliquey as a bunch, the bakers?
When I was working in the hotels, I think we can be. It was really funny when I was working at the Dorchester, because they classed me as head baker, but they put me in, I could dress like a sous chef or a senior sous chef, so I could wear a bigger hat, and I had more vents under my armpits, and I could wear a watch and two towels. And it's a very class, yeah, in the big kitchens it always was. And this was back in the late 80s, 90s when I was working at the Dorchester. But so they had to put my title into the grid, so there was a communication chart so we could all talk to each other. So a commie couldn't walk straight in and talk to one of my lads. He'd have to go through me to go through the chain of command.
Goodness.
It was ridiculous.
Kind of bonkers.
Did you enjoy it, though?
No.
No.
No, it grated on me a lot.
Right.
I was always there first thing in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning I was going to work. So I lived in Kensington, Queensgate Terrace it was, near the back of the...
Oh, it's quite nice
near
Coys,
yeah. Coys of Kensington. I lived on that. I had a little balcony, which is very cute.
Amazing.
And I used to walk to work at 2 o'clock in the morning, go up Albert Memorial, up along Kensington, across the Dorchester. Occasionally I'd cut through the park. But I quite like that walk in the morning. It was quite nice.
Right, so let's start from the beginning. You're born in Liverpool.
No. Well, yeah, originally from that area. Yeah. But we moved to the posh area.
What, Birkenhead?
Across the water,
the
Birkenhead,
Wirral.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Isn't the Wirral posh?
Yeah.
It's sort of split, really.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a posh side and a not-so-posh side. I think the Wirral's a really difficult... It's a really difficult area of the Wirral, and it's an issue because it used to be part of Cheshire, then it was part of Merseyside, and now it's gone back to the Wirral. And the problem is a lot of money's been ploughed into Liverpool because of the poverty and work, etc. And none went into the Wirral. So you had you've got the sort of north coast of it, the Rock Ferry, Ellesmere Port, going all the way down there, which needs investment. And I'm from Wallasey, which again has got all the shops that I grew up with, like John Menzies and Debenhams.
They've all gone.
They've all gone. There's nothing there. And it's like Scooby-Doo. And you go, when you see a Scooby-Doo cartoon and then just repeat.
Mm.
It's like a repeat of all the same shops all the time. And it's a shame because I don't recognise the place I grew up. Because I used to go, into Wallasey all the time, and I was right up to 17, 18. I was living around there. I still go up there all the time. I was there last week, catching up with my mum.
Okay, so let's take it back to the dinner table in Liverpool.
Yeah.
You've got a mum, dad, and two, and how many brothers?
I've got two brothers.
Yeah.
And
who was the cook? And who was the baker in your house?
There's no cooks in the house. They're all bloody awful.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. My mum hated cooking. Mum and dad got divorced when I was 10. My dad, he didn't really cook. My mum was terrible.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Will she be upset if she hears this?
Oh, no. She hates cooking. I remember coming back from school saying, what's for dinner? She'd go and look in the freezer. And it was basically like that. She did do a decent roast, though. I'll give her that. A roast on a Sunday.
And you still love
her.
You see, I could have done that, Jessie, and it would have been all right.
I couldn't disown her because she was a terrible cook. She was a decent baker. Her pastry was good.
Okay. So I was going to say, it wasn't an incentive to start baking because your mum was
Oh God, no.
reaching for the freezer all the time.
No.
Does she ever make like steak pies or things like
No.
So she could bake.
She'd do an apple pie, mean apple pie. Yeah. And ginger biscuits she used to make a lot. They were famous. In fact, I put them in a couple of my books, and Tom Kerridge even started using them, and he said that they're great.
So what's the key?
Well, basically, it's just all soft. It's all the golden syrup and everything in a bowl. Bring it out, bit of flour, and then shape them, put on a tray and bake them. That's it. But they're so simple. Mm. But the more cookie-like, if you leave them in the oven a little bit longer, chewy, they'll crack and they'll look like ginger nuts. But
you don't want the snap.
No, there is a slight crisp, and then just as it hits your mouth, there's a bit of give. So it's like, it's like a ninja in a teacup. Mm. It's like a marine.
The Paul, is it the Paul? Peter Kay.
It's like
scale.
The marine.
With the rich tea.
The one with the rich tea.
Okay. Yeah,
the rich tea just melts.
But this one, you can. Away,
the
yeah.
problem when you've got a biscuit like that, it just drinks your drink. So by the time you've had three or four of them, there's no tea left, and that's a problem.
Do you
for
always
me.
Dunk?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mary was horrified once when I dunked.
I bet she was.
I dunked a Jaffa cake. Then he fell off a chair.
It's racy, that. Yeah,
a Jaffa cake.
See, that's a class thing there. Because I'm a working class lad.
Yeah.
We'd dunk it. I'd dunk a cake if I had. I'll dunk a croissant in a coffee.
Oh, no, that's quite. I think that's
yeah,
quite.
Yeah, I can understand. That, but would you dunk it in tea or coffee?
What? Oh, coffee.
A croissant, yeah.
Croissant is a coffee. Yeah. I wouldn't dunk it in a tea. Because tea doesn't inherently going to carry a lot of flavour into
that. Do you
that
dunk
croissant.
In coffee and in tea?
I tend to dunk more in tea.
Yeah.
Especially a ginger biscuit.
What's your favourite biscuit to dunk?
Oh, a hobnob.
A hobnob.
Or a party ring.
A party ring.
Party rings are nice.
Why?
I remember Tamal.
It was sugary.
No, was it Tamal or was it Liam who did a party ring celebration, like party cake in a tray, and I did it for my daughter's birthday, and it was really good, and they were all party rings at the bottom of the cake.
Yeah,
and it was just quite yummy.
Well, the party ring, it's almost that glacé icing, which I really like. And I think it's the biscuit. It takes me back to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I remember those biscuits. It's not quite malted milk.
I love a malted milk.
Because malted milks are nice. Nice are a joke. I don't know why they call them a biscuit.
What, as soon you don't as you, like
as soon
them?
As you, I love them, but as soon as you put them near a cup of tea, they're falling in.
My father-in-law has to start the day with, I think it's 2 to 4 ginger biscuits, and he gets like it's like his that. Way to start. He can't function
really
without them.
Good for the stomach.
What do you think a ginger biscuit is?
Ginger itself.
Yeah,
really
no,
good.
I know.
Now,
but
if you've
ginger
got a heavily
biscuits.
Gingered biscuit, why not?
I like it with
maybe I should make your mum's one.
Stem ginger. Are there any ginger biscuits in your cook?
Yeah, there are actually. Yeah, and you see, I like stem ginger with ginger. I think if you're using ground ginger and then add in stem ginger, I agree.
Decadent.
It's delicious.
Mm.
It is like cookie, like proper, you know, 1/2 inch thick.
Oh, Paul, I feel like we've got so much to get through. And I'm not even a fucking baker, so I'm just thrilled.
Hold on. This is a
What's burning? What are you cooking?
Mind your own business. No, I'm going to tell you.
Well,
what are you cooking?
I have made a Jewish meal.
Okay.
I've done chicken soup with matzo balls.
We said nice. That you were expecting
We weren't sure
food.
Whether you've eaten lots of matzo balls.
I have.
Jamie Oliver said mine were the best he'd ever tasted.
Nice.
We never know whether it's going to be the same today. I've done salt beef with potato kugel.
Oh, dear.
Which is... Oh, do you not like that?
What? Are you vegetarian?
What's the matter?
I'm joking.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Fine.
Fuck, I nearly died then.
I was going to get a car.
I've done salt beef with a potato pudding. And then I've chanced my luck, Paul. I've made a tarte normande because I thought I can't go wrong here. If
it's
crap,
season,
we could
it?
Have a laugh. And if it's good, I'll get the handshake.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Have you got custard with that?
Do you want me to make custard?
I'm a northern bloke.
I think we've got birds custard.
That's fine.
We can make
I don't mind out of a tin.
Wow, this is very interesting that you're demanding. We haven't even given... You haven't even finished your gin tea and you're demanding custard with your pud.
I think a pudding, a good pudding, needs a custard. It's like Christmas, you know, Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
Christmas pudding has to have custard. No,
cream.
Oh, yeah. No,
Brandy
custard.
Cream.
No.
Bit of both?
See, that's where you're from the south, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Okay.
I'd swim in a bath of custard, me.
Now, listen, I've just come from mixing my new record.
Yeah.
And... my lovely mix engineer, Dan Grett, I was like, there's gorgeous smells in this studio. It's not marijuana, it's not, you know, it was freshly baked bread.
Yeah, I love
so
that.
I stole it from him.
What, the bread?
For you to mark it. Because I just thought, okay, why not? He's given me his score of what he thinks it should be. He's a bit worried it's a bit underdone, but I'd like you to cut through and you're going to rate it. So you've got two dishes to rate tonight. Well, you've got four, but, you know,
I've got
two are bakes.
I was baking. I brought out a loaf this morning. I bake a lot at home, to be honest. And
what are you baking? Sourdough, or are you baking?
No, this morning I did a no-knead bread because I haven't made one for ages and I wanted to make one. A no-knead bread.
So you don't need it.
No, you don't do anything. It's literally nature does everything, and it's the most beautiful bread you'll ever have.
Is it in the new cookbook? Bake book?
There's a similar one as the baguette, but it's not in this one. But basically, it's flour. You mix flour, water, salt, and yeast. Only 2 grams of yeast.
I'm frightened of yeast. So it's not yeast.
Much. Why?
I don't know. You had a fight with one. I was frightened of gelatine, but I've made a few good panna cottas in it, and I'm not so frightened. But I'm just frightened of using
like
it.
An agent.
I'm not confident.
When you say yeast, are you talking about the fresh stuff or the...
Anything.
Do you use fresh or dry?
Do you know what? For 17 years professionally, I used fresh, and now I use the instant stuff because when I was in Cyprus and when I was in med, because fresh, it doesn't last. It was all fresh. It was all the powdered stuff, and I just flipped everything over to that. It's just easier.
Where'd
it doesn't
you
stink
get
your fridge out.
I love that tip. Where'd you get fresh?
You get it from supermarkets now. They sell
them. Do they?
Yeah. I don't. Just don't buy it. Use the instant stuff. It doesn't stink your cupboards out. It lasts longer than the fresh stuff, and it's just easy to get hold of.
But have you got a proving oven?
No, don't need one of that.
Do you? What is your kitchen setup?
Oh, it's terrible. It's mine. You couldn't swing a cat.
Really?
It's like 30 foot by, well, let's say, no, 20 foot by 8 foot wide.
So it's a galley kitchen?
Sort of, yeah.
But, so are you a very clean
chef?
Yeah, because you've been working in the kitchens.
Yeah,
and
I don't like, I'll be brushing up as well.
So you've made a no-knead bread this morning?
Yeah, yeah, brought one out the
did
oven.
Did
I started
come
it last
on
night.
You think, oh, I'll just make a load
yeah, well,
morning.
I did a sack of tort. And I did a chocolate fudge cake, and I did a New York cheesecake with brownie and vanilla.
When was this?
That was a couple of days ago.
For any particular reason?
I was just trying a few things out.
Why didn't you bloody bring one, Paul?
Sasha taught everybody's face. Well, I wanted to know, how do you keep so slim?
Are you joking?
Yeah, no. I think...
I'm not slim.
Well, you're not thin, but I wouldn't
I'm not
say
slim.
That.
Mum, you just, like, I'm stroked not, and slapped,
no,
Paul.
No.
I'm not, like, professional fat.
No,
I'm sort of in the middle.
No, you're not fat.
You look great, Paul. You look great.
Plump. You look gorgeous. But is it a worry when you have to eat all those cakes? And do you love cake?
I hate cake.
You don't?
No, of course I don't like cake. I mean, I don't mind cake. I prefer puddings, to be honest. I prefer, you know, like steamed puddings and anything with custard I'm really into. Cakes. Do you know what? On Bake Off, we all, and that includes Mel, Sue, Mary... and Noel, Matt and Prue, we all prefer savoury. All of us. Every time I go, oh no,
yeah,
it's cake week.
Oh, really?
Ugh. And so by the end of it, I'm leaving in the car to go home and I'll have to pull into a fast food chain and go and suck on some salty chips because I've had this sweet
cloying
overload.
The
yeah.
Desperate Paul Hollywood in like Chatham service stations in Mackie D's with
just,
a salty
just pull
chip.
Over and suck on a chip. And I'll feel better. It's just because all day all I've had is sugar. I doubt, you know, it's horrible.
You're going to get fired after that.
No, he's not.
No. Anything in moderation is fine.
What was your first star bake that you remember that you were like, wow, I'm really good at baking?
Still waiting for it, I think.
Oh, come on.
Oh, stop it.
I suppose when I joined my dad's business, because he had a chain of bakeries up the East Coast and ended up taking over his shop in Liverpool, where I went to go and work for the first time professionally with whites on and going into work. And then I picked it up really quickly, really quickly. You know, scaling, I became really quick and oven work.
What scaling? Explain.
Scaling is cutting dough up into pieces so you can shape it and then put it in a tin or whatever you're going to do with it. And I was good at it. I was quick and I picked it up very quickly. I suppose growing up, I was like a Saturday lad in my dad's shops, brushing up the floor, and literally, my dad said, if you're going to join the industry, you're going to start from the bottom. I literally did. I started in the toilets, and it was disgusting, you know, mopping up the loos and smell. And I go, Jesus, this guy, what? But he did it deliberately because I was the boss's son as well, so I had to learn literally everything. But I suppose when you're bringing out donuts and initially you're bringing them out of the oven, you're going, or the fryer, and you're going, they look amazing. And then you start to coat them in sugar.
Oh.
Then you inject them with the machine, whether it's electric one or not. I love the manual one. We used to pierce them and then literally both sides, there was a handle and you'd go... It's quite a manual thing, isn't it? Yeah. And then we used to do like a jam bomb. So if my brothers came in, I'd just inject this thing so it was about to explode and then pass it to him and he'd take a bite out of it, literally go everywhere.
Jam everywhere.
But I think though, anything that came out of the oven, I was so proud. But there was one time I remember taking over a Lincoln shop. The head baker hadn't turned in for work for whatever reason. And I was working on my own, and I wasn't meant to be working on my own, but I thought I opened up the shop, started to kick off the ovens, fill the shop with the cakes and the pastries and the pies and everything else for the shop staff when they came in at 8 o'clock. And I started putting them all on the shelves. So the baker's job is to cool all the bread, lay them all out and get it all ready. And I remember at the end of that day, I remember phoning my dad up saying, he hasn't turned up. All right, okay, I'll come down. He never did. But I remember... I was very proud at that day of myself.
Mm.
I thought, I'm a baker now. I didn't realise what I'd learnt over the couple of years, months that I've been doing it. But I remember walking out of the shop and looking back and looking at everything in the shop. It wasn't burnt. It was perfect. Aww. It was the right colour. It was golden brown. It was glistening. The bread was all beautifully cracked and splintered. And I went, oh, yeah, yeah. And I remember walking out with a big smile on my face.
And did your dad ever see that?
No, I don't think he turned up that day.
How old were you?
Probably 18.
So, did you leave school?
No, well, yeah, in those days.
Those days? You're about 12. What do you mean those days?
Well, in the 16, I couldn't get out of school fast enough.
Really?
I went to art school because I followed my mum first. My mum was very arty. She's like a hippie straight out of the 60s. My mum, poncho the whole lot, you know. And she when I was growing up, she used to do a lot of work from home because she had three lads. And she used to do, remember the old Pepperware rabbits and David Winter cottages, these beautiful models that you get with the Velcro, with the soft velvet base, the models all beautifully made.
Yeah, they were like models.
Yeah,
and they had a velvet base.
Beautiful cottages. Yeah. And some of them are rabbits with
different... It was like ornaments.
Like Sylvanian
families. Yes, no. They were made out of pottery.
Yeah, they were
ornaments.
Pottery. They're all cast. And she used to paint them at home. Cases of them, I remember arriving, growing up and going... It's like, you work for the sweet mum. She'd go, yeah. And then she'd sit there and then she'd start painting all the rabbits. And then she was great with a paintbrush, my mum. Great painter. And so I remember for hours she'd have this light on. She'd be painting all these. And she loved it. She seemed to like it.
How old is she now?
How's her mum now? Nearly 80.
Were you well-behaved boys?
No. I wasn't. I suppose I think I reacted badly to my mum and dad's divorce. Mm. So initially I was quite a good boy. I had a big operation when I was 10. I had appendicitis, I got pneumonia at the same time. And I was in hospital for quite a bit when I was 10. I hated hospitals because I was... The scar, they had to manually open every day and because it got infected.
God.
And then stuff bandages in every day for 6 months. And I remember the pain was excruciating. And I sort of got used to the pain, and then I was thrown back into school again. And I remember I was a prefect. But I remember the first job, I was a milk monitor. So I was a milk monitor first.
It was lovely being
which
milk
was
monitor.
Great, because you can have an extra bit of milk. And the bottles were only that big. For them, it was like that big then. And then I became a form captain. And then I was a prefect. And
so
you
were doing really well.
I was all right at school. And then when my mum and dad got divorced, when I left my middle school, I went to a comprehensive school. And they stuck me in band two, which was CSE. So then you study CSE.
What's CSE?
CSE was not GCE, not O-levels.
GCSE. Oh, okay.
GCE was O-levels. CSE was the one
that is
down.
Really
why did they put you in that?
Because I didn't care. I didn't revise. I didn't do anything.
Were your parents pissed off?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my last report was pretty bad. And so they put me in band two. And so when I started... In my comprehensive scores in Pantu, after the first term, I remember my dad talking to me, he said, I'll give you whatever, £5 for every A that you get on your report. So the first, at the end of the first term, I got my report and it was straight A's across the board. And I got a call from the housemaster, Mr. Lovely, ironically. And then I went to go and see him, and he said, sit down. We're going to move you up to band one, to GCs. You're going to be doing O-levels from now on in. So we're going to move your class. You're in the wrong band. Right, so they moved me up to band one. So that's, I changed. Yeah. Straight A's, my dad had to cough up a load of money. And then I stayed there. I really didn't care. I was the bit
so
of a
joker.
So you
were academic, but you just, you could do it, but you didn't want to.
He's clever.
I did a Mensa test when I left school.
Oh, fuck off. You're Sharon Stone?
No, I did a Mensa test because I saw this thing in the newspaper, like a little Sudoku. It was on Sudoku, it hadn't even come out yet.
Yeah.
And I saw these 40 questions, and they said, if you can do them in less than 40 minutes, you need to send off for this test. So I was doing all these things, and then you have to send it away. And then I got a letter back saying, would you like to take a test? Your percentage was high. And I said, yeah, okay. But you had to have a teacher to sign it. So my next door neighbor was a teacher, and I said, can you time me on this? So I had to go and do this time thing. And then I was in the top 2%.
You are clever. Yeah, I knew you were clever.
Yeah, but that's weird. Because no, it's not weird. In school, I ended up with one O-level.
That's
which
because
was
you didn't apply
art.
Yourself.
Do you regret not trying harder at school?
Yeah. In fact, so much so, about 10 years ago, I thought, I wanted to be a lawyer, a barrister. And so I looked into it, and I had to do humanities, because I had no qualifications. Yeah. I had to do humanities course first, then do law, basic law, and then do the bar.
Conversion,
I thought,
too much.
And I thought, I couldn't. I was working, I had business to run, and I just didn't have the time to do it. So I'm fascinated to challenge myself sometimes with that. I still do Sudokus and all that stuff now.
Have you got children?
I have a boy, yeah, Josh.
How old is he?
He's 21 now.
Is he clever?
Yeah.
Is he going to be a baker?
Well, he's into media. So he's in media studies at the moment. Whether he wants to be in front or behind the camera is down to him, really.
How do you feel being in front of the camera?
Don't like it. The benefits are great.
Yeah.
The downside is horrible. The benefit and the money.
Okay.
The fame, and I believe that.
How does the fame affect you day to day?
I don't. I'm quite a shy person. But
yeah, because I remember when I met you at Jonathan Ross. I felt like you were quite reserved and shy. You were being. I mean, look, Jonathan Ross is the big. My chair is very squeaky. Jonathan Ross is the big personality, and you kind of, you know, it's.
I know Jonathan, so I feel comfortable with Jonathan.
But I felt like you were quite quiet.
Yeah.
But when you're comfortable. Is that when you're quiet?
I'll come out there. When I'm comfortable, then I'm okay. I'll open up a bit. It's just that I was brought up in a very church environment.
All right.
And I was the quietest one of my two brothers, for sure. My mum would have said, out of the three of you, there's no way you were going to go on and do what you do. And I said, no, I'd agree with your mum, because I was quite a quiet person, quite solitary. I enjoyed my own company. Mm. I don't have a problem with that. And so I find it difficult to deal with cities. And ironically, when I did the series City Bakes, that was the weirdest thing for me to do, because I was in all these big cities talking to people. And it was fine.
It was really
weird with lots of people. If they didn't know me, I was really good. Mm. If I met somebody, I can get them smiling normally within 30 seconds to a minute. We'll be smiling together. And I think a smile is the start. That's the conduit to open up a conversation, I think. Once you get someone smiling, then you're all right. You're okay. But I was always quite reserved, quite quiet, quite shy. So the benefits of you know, fame is obviously monetary. So from that point of view, you think, okay, I'm making it a few quid now, more than I was before when I was slogging my guts out at 2 o'clock every morning.
Yeah.
Professionally, my CV is very, very good.
Yeah.
And then this came along.
How did you get into bit? What happened? How did it
start?
You were at the Dorchester.
I was at the Dorchester. I'd done Clifton as well. I was at Clifton for a while. Then I was offered a job at Claridge's, and Tute and Glen were after me as well. And there was a few people after me. Lainsborough, Paul Gaylor was after me.
Cakes are fabulous.
I was good at what I did. My CV was very good. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. I'm going to get into this industry. To go into hotels doing what I do was unusual. Normally you're working in the high street doing, you know, your normal stuff. But I wanted to better myself, wanted to learn more. So I basically read a lot, got a lot of recipes, tried them in work, see if they worked, see if they didn't, and then tried something else. Because no one taught me. That's the thing. No one taught me. I never had someone above me teaching me.
So you literally went into your dad's bakery and that was like how you learned?
I learned the basics and then after that I taught myself. So it was a case of sort of picking up stuff and learning, listening to people, watching, working with professionals in the industry. French guys taught me croissant. Francois Cachier, the chef at the Dorchester, was just amazing at croissant. I remember working with him and just watching him going, that's interesting. It's all about ingredients. It's all about your ingredients when you're baking. Good ingredients in, the end product is very good. So professionally, I was really good. But the TV, when I was in Cyprus for 6 years, the TV company, Thane Prince, used to be the food critic for The Telegraph years ago, writer. And she used to have a cookery school in Aldborough in Suffolk. She was an amazing chef and a great teacher, actually. And I met her and she invited me onto her programme. So I went on the programme. Dabbled in it, but she goes, you should do some more TV when you get back to the UK. I was like, okay.
Was it thrilling?
I enjoyed the evangelical side of things, which was the, I think when you start off, I'm going to become really famous. And I was thinking, what car's going to buy? I wasn't thinking of the fame side of things. I was thinking of the monetary. Oh, that'll be all right. That'd be interesting. So eventually when I started into the business, I came back to the UK and then signed with an agent and then did a series with James Martin. And then I did Use Your Loaf, it was called. So I did the first half, he did the second half. And it was quite successful. And then he asked me to do it in my own series, so I did another one. And then I wrote a book, 100 Great Breads, which was great. I really enjoyed. That was a big thing, actually, my first book. And I never thought I'd know it, because we were approaching channels saying, we've got this idea for a baking show. They go,
it's your idea.
No. Bake Off wasn't, just a baking program. And they're going, it's a bit niche baking. We're not sure it'll work. And I go, no, but there's loads of chefs out there, but there's hardly any bakers. So why can't you just concentrate on baking? No, it's a bit niche. So I had the door slammed in my face like for years. So I just concentrated on my business. I was supplying Waitrose and Harrods and stuff with bits. And then out of the blue, Bake Off turned up on the doorstep for an audition. So they turned up with a film camera with a young
Whose clerk. Idea was it then?
Well, it was definitely Anna's. Love. Anna Beattie and the production team of Love had the idea, took it to many channels who all turned it down. Then Emma Willis from BBC put a neck on the line and said, yeah, let's give it a go on BBC Two, 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. We'll give it a little show.
It's one of the best programmes in the world.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jesse, I realise I haven't made the cucumber salad.
What? I'm leaving.
What? To get, we'll have to have a meal.
I'd rather I didn't have any salad, to be honest. I like to dodge salads.
We'll find them. You know what? Mum's about to bring out the chicken soup, and we would usually obviously do this with challah bread. I don't think you've got a challah, but
no, I haven't.
I feel like maybe this is the time to mark Dan's sourdough. So hold on.
Okay, bring it over.
Dan Gretz, mix engineer, producer extraordinaire's sourdough that I stole off him.
Ooh, nice Benetton.
Now, what do you think of the...
Looks good.
Okay.
He's used a Benetton. When was it made? Yesterday?
It was made today.
Ah, good. Have you got any butter?
Yeah. Come on, let's see. This is... Okay, don't worry about Mum's bread knife. Just give it some welly.
I'll be a minute.
You probably not even got the bread knife,
within a minute. Oh, we've got some purchase. I'm going to buy you a set of knives. It's not you, my friend. This is the knife. My mum used to have a knife like that.
This is not the right knife. And I know that you've not got the right knife.
Hold on a minute. Let me get an... What do we think?
It's very good.
Very good.
Lovely structure. It needs a little bit longer proving.
Longer. Well, he was busy mixing my album, so we'll forgive him on that.
I'm not going to wait on you, so you better...
Okay, right.
Now, you're not going right in the middle. You're using the end bit. Now...
Oh, the best bit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, crusty bit.
Okay, hold on. He's just giving his critique. It's quite dramatic, the pause, isn't it? Because he's eating.
But it looks quite tough.
Hang on.
He's offering me out for a fight.
Come on, what do we think?
It's quite tough.
Yeah, it looks tough.
I think it's been... I don't know whether you covered up when it was rising.
Probably, yeah.
And when he proved it the second time and he tipped it out, because it's probably got a slight crust on it before he put it in.
That looks quite nice and chewy, no?
Oh, yeah. Blow bubbles with that.
Hang on. I think you're being a bit harsh, to be honest.
It's delicious.
Delicious, but a bit tough.
Have they brought you up to bring the
butter out
like that? I don't
think Paul Hollywood cares.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
Do you know what? I thought that when she brought it out.
Jesus.
So you're saying that the crust is tough?
It's too tough. Bit of water in the oven. Bit more water. You probably put a little bit in, needs a bit more. Just to lighten up that crust a little bit more.
But you might
good taste though, Dan. Thank you very much.
To be honest, it's a fantastic taste. And a little bit more proving. Just a little bit more proving.
All right,
great.
Could you move it, please?
And the new bread knife.
I'll get you a kitchen
knife.
Thank you,
darling.
Thank you very much, Paul. I'll be thrilled with that.
Tastes great though.
Yeah, great.
You might need a bit of salt. It's not, but I think the flavour's okay.
I'll leave it to the chef with the salt. That's delicious. That's happy food.
Yeah. The matzable, what do you think? Mm. Yeah, you see?
It's happy.
Really good.
Yeah. You can have another matzable if you want.
I would have brought you some flatbread. I can make one for you now if you've got any flour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mum, I feel like we've got to let him do that.
Plain flour?
No, strong flour.
I don't know what strong flour is.
What?
I don't have strong flour.
How many flours have you got?
Self-raising.
Self-raising and plain.
Oh, God. I don't bake. Well, you need to.
Why?
What flour did you use for the crust?
So I can sit and get fatter.
You're not fat. You're beautiful.
Thank you, darling.
Like a Christmas pudding.
I wasn't going for that look. I didn't think Audrey Hepburn did either.
I love Christmas pudding.
Good.
I'm worried about your crust. Did you use just normal flour?
Which crust?
Should she have used strong flour
for
her crust?
No, I used what the lady said in the recipe.
For what?
For my tart.
Will we
be okay?
Fine. Okay.
That's why you don't need strong flour for that.
I want to know, when you were working in the hotels, were you able to sample the savoury food?
Oh, yeah.
Or was it very much like hands-off, that's for the guests?
I shouldn't tell you this, because I know no one's listening.
Yes, you should.
When I was working at the Chester Grosvenor, and I used to work for the Duke of Westminster, and I was allowed to take a loaf home from the hotel, because I was the baker. To be honest, I was skint. I used to go home in the evening, and for my best meal ever was, if I had the money, because it was 85 pence, was fried rice, chips and curry sauce. From the Chinese down the road, and it was the best dinner to have.
Where's curry sauce in London? I've never.
Wasn't it in London? It was in Chester.
Oh, Chester. Oh, chips.
So I lived in staff accommodation in my little flat, and I'd go, I've got 85p down the side of the sofa, and I found enough money to go down to the chippy to go and get my fried rice, chips, and curry. And it was like a thing then. And I still do it now.
Where are you finding curry sauce in South? You'll make
it. Good question. No. Most of the Chinese restaurants now have curry sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And a lot of chippies do, obviously. Chippies do, but the chippies don't do fried rice. So you have to go to a Chinese, and they do curry. Honestly, anybody listening to this, right, go and get a... You can feed five people, get a big portion of chips, big portion of fried rice, load of curry sauce, and just split it amongst all of you. And you'll thank me for it afterwards.
So, in answer to my question, you weren't interested in the posh stuff?
I'll come back to the story about the bread.
Okay.
So, because I was skinned, and I'd say, can I take one of my breads home? And the shepherd say, they had security on the gate, and he'd say, he's allowed to take a loaf home. And I said, thank you, because that's all I had in the house, to be honest. So I'd take the loaf, but I'd also stash a big steak inside it and hold the way out. So when I get to security, they go, what have you got there, Paul? And I go, oh, I got me loaf. Oh, nice one, go
he
on, mate.
You smuggled?
Yeah, a steak out. So yeah, I did have the odd occasional food. You see, I worked at night, and I was on my own. And so I wanted something to eat. I was hungry. No one was there to cook me food. Oh, wow. Where's the cucumber salad?
Have we got gherkins, Mum? Uh-huh. Shall I get some mustard? Oh, thank God. We're all right then. We're safe. Don't worry about it.
I haven't had salt beef for about 8 years. 7 years. Well, 7 years now. Right. Delicious, thank you.
Help yourself. Now, you need to tell us your last supper, which would be a starter, a main, a pud, and a drink of choice.
Okay.
Think about this.
No, I know what I want.
Oh,
prawn
okay.
cocktail.
Oh.
For sure. Straight from Burnie Inn. Do you remember Burnie
yes.
Inn?
Yes.
No.
Burnie Inn.
She's not northern.
Okay. Right. So Burnie Inn.
Yeah.
Prawn cocktail. In a cocktail glass, obviously.
Lovely. Yeah.
And then main course, anything with mince.
Do you like avocado with your prawn cocktail?
That's a bit...
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, that's not the
fancy
proper
pants.
One.
So mince. Do you
like it? Melon's quite nice with it.
Do you like it with brown bread?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the crust cut off as
yeah.
well. Little triangle.
Yeah.
I don't want a square. I want a triangle.
Right.
And
mince.
Then anything with mince.
What, like spag bol?
Spag bol.
Yeah.
Lasagna. I make a beautiful fajitas with guacamole, with my own guacamole and sour cream and cheese. And I make mince to put inside it. It's delicious. And every
is
time my friends come down... No, that's a cook thing.
Isn't
it?
Okay.
I don't put anything like that in there to keep it to baking. And then when my friends come down, they always ask me for the same thing. And then also you've got, I mean, things something like a cottage pie. Love cottage pie.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You lost
anything
me.
Anything with mince.
I don't get cottage pie. Don't get shepherd's pie. Don't get it.
Oh, I quite like it.
Oh, I love it.
Me
no,
too.
It's bland.
Yeah, I love it.
Don't get it. Needs so much pickle. To go with it.
Yeah, we do. We have Branston.
Ooh, Branston pickle with it. How do you take yours?
In what?
No, you have it on the side with your shepherd's pie to zing it up.
Jesse, do you want some?
No?
No.
Try it.
I put a little bit of Worcester in my mince though.
That's still not going to be enough. Try
really?
Pickle on the side.
I don't like pickle.
But I put baked beans in mine.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done sweet corn. I've done sweet corn inside mine as well. Sweet corn's really nice.
All right, and then pudding. Now I'm very interested. I'm surprised you didn't go for three puds, to be honest, Paul Hollywood.
Bread and butter pudding.
Okay.
The Paul Hollywood way. I've got that sodding panettone.
No, don't. Why would you do it when he like...
Yeah, when he's the
king.
Can
I take two?
You can take four. That's nothing there.
No,
will you take the big
ones? I'm on a diet at the moment.
No,
I
have a bit.
This is the guy that had a sash of talk yesterday.
Oh, please take a proper bit.
I shared that. I shared that with all the builders at the house at the moment.
They must love working for you.
They've had cheesecake, baked New York cheesecake with a brownie mixed laced through it. They've had chocolate sacquetort. They've had bread and butter pudding. They've had ridiculous amounts of cake.
Help you. Do you want me to do it for you? Would you? Yeah, go on.
That's fine.
Here,
okay.
Can I have American mustard?
Yeah, it's up there.
Did we go for your drink of choice?
No.
What are we going for?
A pina colada. Nipple deep in a pool.
Boy, I love it. I love it. You and Amol Rajan are the only people that have chosen a pina colada.
I like a pina colada.
Yeah. So come on, tell me about Kent. Should we all move to Kent? It seems like all the
no,
spouses
No, because then there'll be too many people.
No, I don't want to move to Kent.
There'll be too many people.
Where's your local shops?
Can you shout out any good bakeries?
Online.
Yeah, you see. Oh. That's what happens.
But there's
when
loads of farmers markets and the village shops. So the village shop, the village post office... There's a farmer's shop just up the road, farm shop up the road. There's two farm shops I go to.
Do they quake in their boots when they see you coming?
Oh, they're used to me now.
And does any of your, like, your other half and or, like, anybody that knows you very well, when you go out for dinner with them, do they kind of roll their eyes when the dessert comes? Because you're going to kind of tap it, you're going to smell it, you're going
to
do...
Well, I tend to anyway. I mean, if there's a bread roll there or something, normally...
You always tap
it. I love going out for meals. Mm. I love it. You know, and if it's quite, stick me in the corner, it's fine. And I'd just sit in the ground, I'd be back to everybody, just staring at a wall.
Tapping the bread.
Just tapping the bottom of the bread. But no,
now panicking.
I like dining out. I like food. And there's nothing better than cooking. So thank you very much for my meal tonight.
Sorry it was a bit salty.
It's fine.
No, I'm about to have a sweet
It just makes you drink more.
Yeah. Now, you can help me with getting this bugger.
What, out the tin?
Yeah.
Okay, have you got a cup?
A cup?
Have you got a loose bottom base?
Yeah, but I kept that out so I could do it.
How long did you bake it for?
40 minutes.
Does that look a bit sad?
Was it turned on?
Oh, piss off. Oh, what a fucking cheek.
I think he's... Well, here we go. Here we go, guys.
If it's... I think it's cooked.
Well, we'll find out in a minute. Baked. Anyway, from Hollywood.
Baked, sorry.
Do you like this power that you hold?
No, this isn't a power. This is only in your head.
Oh, come on.
It's only a power if you allow it to be. It's not a power. Of course it's not. If you're trying to help someone bake it, the only way they learn is by telling them the truth. If you go to someone's house and someone makes you a cake, you're always going to say, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Even when it isn't because someone's made you a cake. But if you want that cake to be better or they want to get better, if you say tell them the truth that... Actually had a slight soggy bottom and you need to bake it for another 5 minutes and lighten it up with a bit of sour cream. And they go, oh, and then the next time you come back, they go, look at this. And all of a sudden, they're on a journey of things get better and better.
I'm never coming on.
Otherwise, you're stuck.
I'll be out.
Otherwise, you just carry on going round and round and round in the same circle.
I think...
I'm not making custard, Paul.
No, it's fine. I'll have the cream.
Life's too short for me to make custard. Hold on.
I think it's a soggy bot, Mum.
It is soggy.
It's a soggy bot.
Yeah, but what can I do? I did the recipe.
Yeah, but when the recipe says something, that they're relying on the fact that they make it in their oven at a certain rate, but your oven might be slightly different.
But how are you supposed to?
You can tell by the colour.
The colour.
Yeah, you can tell by the colour, which is why I said you probably need another 5-10 minutes.
Oh, look, that is soggy, very soggy bottom. Mm. Don't look at me like that, darling.
I did say.
But
you told me to piss off.
Yeah, but you couldn't have said it back
in. It had been in 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
And it said 35 minutes.
I know. Listen, it'll still taste amazing.
Would you still eat a bit of a shit bake? Soggy. You'd still eat a bit of a shit bake?
I'm going to do it now.
Cheeky sod.
Let's see
if we can cover up this dampness.
It's kind of odd.
You're brutal,
I don't
Paulie.
Think this is my favourite recipe.
I don't know why you didn't do something that you knew how to do.
Bakewell tart?
Jessica.
Do you like Bakewell tart?
No.
Oh.
Here, try.
It's a bit like a quiche.
Well, that's I followed the recipe, tart normand. I won't do it here. It's quite hard at the bottom, though. It's not soggy.
Oh, what's your verdict?
I think the base... what temperature did you bake it at?
180.
Okay. 180 fan or non-fan?
Fan.
It needs almost a bit of almond in there.
I was going to put amaretto in.
Amaretto would have been nice.
Better than calvados.
Or a frangipane. Frangipane in there would have been really nice.
Do you think?
Had a frangipane and then the custard on the top. And the frangipane would have brought that almond flavour, that kick of almond, because it's a bit... A non-entity.
Say what you say.
It's not strong enough. The flavour. The apple's lost its way, and you're losing flavour with it.
But I did exactly what she said.
Absolutely, it's not your fault.
Shit,
I can tell
shit
you.
Recipe.
I can tell you a good baker, but it is a shit recipe.
You're better than this, Mum.
I'm gonna have to come back.
Yeah, there you go. Paul Hollywood, thank you for being such a good sport. It's been such a pleasure having you. You now have 2 hours to digest until you're back in your comfort of your own home.
I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. Thank
good.
You so much for inviting me.
How are you getting back?
I'm walking to Ben Hall.
You know what? I thought Paul would be a little bit more reserved than that. He was such good fun. We had loads of laughs. He flirted with you, Mum. He acknowledged his beautiful eyes. Really, really good fun, Mum.
I knew he would be.
said he'd sort you out if you went on Celebrity Bake Off.
I know. He said he'd sort you out too.
I'm absolutely
going
not
on
doing it.
It.
Not doing it.
Well, clearly I can't bake, can I?
But you know what? His book actually looks reasonably unintimidating. I may attempt some bakes. That's what I shall be doing this weekend. I really, really enjoyed it. That is what the podcast is about. When you meet somebody that you want to meet and it goes in an unexpected way and we were having a right
old
giggle.
Why was it unexpected? I just knew that he was going to be good fun.
I don't know. I just thought
Did you think he was going to be arsey because of his bake-off
I don't think
persona.
He was going to be arsey. I just thought maybe he wouldn't give us as much as he gave us. And I think he was incredibly open and had really amazing anecdotes.
Yeah.
Had really good opinions on everything, even
and,
if
and
I agree with him or
kind
not.
Kind of quite self-effacing as well.
Obviously very intelligent.
Yeah. Well, clearly now we know his Mensa score.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul Hollywood, for schlepping here. I mean, I feel like he's going to a pub in Kent to potentially discuss
and have
your
dessert.
Soggy bot, have dessert. And hopefully he had a gorgeous time. He got the tea towel.
Jessie, I have to say, the amount of effort that went into that dinner, and I thought the salt beef was so salty.
It was salty. Very salty.
I've never had it as salty
as
that.
Why is that?
Don't know. You don't even put salt in. And I
so
brought it
happened?
To the boil twice to get the salt off, the brine off it. I don't know why it was so salty. So the smaller bit wasn't as salty as the bigger bit for some reason.
Which bit did Paul get?
He had both bits.
Okay.
But he'll have a desperate thirst on
the road. You won't need that salty chip on the way.
Not with my salt beef.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Paul Hollywood. We had such fun. It was brilliant.
And he does have the deepest, bluest eyes you've ever seen.
They're piercing. They are.
Piercing blue.
You've got a really good look at them.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.